this button. The middle path is lined with, one side I like to call yuck, the kingdom of yuck, and the other side is the kingdom of yum. And they just keep you in balance. They keep you walking the middle path, which is quite wide. It's quite a generous path. It's not like walking a tightrope by any means. And so when you kind of wander off to one side into bliss even, they push you back in because you're of no use to anybody when you're in bliss. And then you kind of wander off into the yuck side and same idea. They just pat you back in. I consider duality is like the best parents ever. You know, one on one side, one on the other, and they just keep you in line. So one of the things, too, that we do in satsang is we lay out our inquiries and our experience on the altar of learning to be sacrificed for knowledge and wisdom. So those things you know or questions that you have, inquiries or experiences that you've had recently and how they are coming forth in you as you take this journey. There are some of the things that might come up. And even the idea of stepping over struggle. Struggle is a word to step over. And the Hopi say, remove struggle from your vocabulary and your attitude. But it's quite a stubborn stain, which is another word for sin. Sin means stain. So to step out of these practices of falling in line with struggle and falling in line with suffering, even the suffering of others, it's none of your business, really. You know, a lot of the suffering that we Westerners see going on in the world is because it's our eyes. And then we project onto those cultures because we think we see suffering. And I think I might have been speaking to you about, you know, confusing poverty for culture. You go down to Peru and, you know, if your hosts aren't living in shacks and killing their own chickens and whatever, you know, it's not like a traditional, authentic experience. They're not living in dirt floor shacks. You know, if they're living in regular houses, you feel like you've been ripped off or something. You're not having some authentic jungle shaman experience. Well, that's confusing poverty for culture. And it's ridiculous. So just that, you know, adjusting your eyes, seeing things for what they really are, seeing yourself as the seer. And when you observe something, it changes. It changes based on your observation. So in this is our power. You know, to go out and try and change things by giving people more stuff. And I mean, there's one way. I'm not saying don't help people build wells and don't, you know, blah, blah, blah. But that's only one small part. And it's about how we see things. And that's our power right there. If you see suffering, there is suffering. If you see struggle, there is struggle. It's not to be ignorant and avoid something that's there. But what more can we bring to it? You know, just Westerners have a habit of floating in and being the savior and then floating out again, feeling self-important. So do you do that to yourself as well, self-importance? Just consider that. There's many ways that we make ourselves feel important, and one is to be very busy. You know, are you busy? Yeah, oh yeah, I'm busy. You know, if I wasn't busy, I'd be a loser. So it's that. And there was one woman in the course, she liked to create emergencies. Everything had to be like an emergency. And that boosted her her worth, you know, that there was this great need that she was meeting. And it made her feel important. But it was also exhausting her and depleting her. So when we speak to what is, did you want to say something? No? Okay. When we speak to or through or be the conduit for what is, you know, how does that feel? What is that to be so empty, to be so without any expectation or desire or even passion, just to be empty and let what is flow through us, in and out like a tide, like the waning and waxing moon. It's just happening. It's just happening. And in the meantime, we have jobs and we have children to care for and relationships to tend to. And so it's all still the same, you know, with enlightenment, even with the hero's journey, your rites of passage, your life's not really going to change a lot. I mean, as we said, about it's nothing to do with becoming happier or better. It's changing the most intrinsic view of the mind, changing the mind. I like to think of it like a diaper.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a regular occurring thing. Change the mind. Not a diaper. The mind's ingesting so much all the time. The mind is processing and ingesting. It's like this huge digestive system of its own.
Oh, I get it. Yeah, I get that.
Mm-hmm.
I get that, yeah.
And then to just let it clean itself out. It's the most, you know, the least messy kind of diaper cleanup. It's pretty invisible.
Definitely.
Yeah. But it's just that maintaining and keeping the mind clean. And that's a mindfulness as well. And an awareness kind of is a tool for you to stop thinking you need to believe everything you think. So when you're in awareness, you no longer have to believe every thought that comes into your head.
It's just we can just let it come in and leave again.
Absolutely. I mean, what we're doing here is we're working into meditation as being your default, in a sense. Not the meditation where you sit on the cushion and cross your legs and do the yantras and mantras, and you know, that's one way. Right, and that's a great way to take refuge and let everything pass over you. But you are checking out, and that's okay. It's literally taking refuge and saying, I am turning myself off right now. I'm not available to any entities. I'm not available to any thoughts. I'm going into, you know, hibernation for an hour.
Right.
Yeah. And in the meantime, you still practice mindfulness and building, cultivating awareness, we call it, in Qigong, so that during the day, as the thoughts come, you start to differentiate them, for one thing. Is that really a thought for me, or is that just something passing through? How do you know? You just get more skilled. And And also just watching them sometimes, right? Just tracking them, just being aware, this is with me now. What's my relationship to it? And that's where the reality bubble idea comes in. Okay, in this moment, I find myself in frustration, or I'm in confusion. I'm in joy. Don't forget to acknowledge all of them. You know, it's all part of the exercise. And but just simply by doing that, like I said about observing, right? The power of observation. And then that thing is acknowledged. And when it becomes acknowledged, it's more likely to move on. If you try and deny it and just fight it, you know, they say what you resist persists. So it's like, get to know it. Hey, you've got this visitor who dropped in. You know, Rumi talks about we are a guest house. And some of our rooms have really good, like a good, whatever, conscientious guests who, you know, clean up after themselves. And some are lollygaggers, and some are couch surfers who never do the dishes. And then there's that crazy guy at the end of the hallway, you know, that nobody ever, don't go there. I remember in New York City, there was in the old hotels, there was always that guy on the, you know, 10th floor at the end of the hall. Don't go there. But, you know, just have fun with it again, too, right? This is the key, is that do not get too serious about this. Keep having fun with it. Like, okay, I'm in this now. I'm in that now. And, oh, there I am doing that again. And there I am not. Oh, this is new. You know, who would have thunk? I could think that even. And acknowledging. So acknowledging. We'll be going more into this in tracking later. But just to start the process now of this awareness. And then when you go to sleep, you sleep. And that's also a beautiful refuge. And there's reasons why people can't sleep. And it has to do with your spirit being confused as to what is day and what is night. Because it doesn't know. It goes by you. You're its clock. It has no idea what day and night is in terms of light and dark. It knows when you're active and when you're inactive. And it's the balanced spirit is with you during the day. When you're active, it comes back to you through after it's done its journey through the night with its medicine, and it gives you its medicine and sends you on your way. But really, you know, it happens when you're aware of it, when you acknowledge it. So the more you can connect with your spirit and what your spirit's job is, and acknowledge your spirit for what it does for you and how you coexist. We just did a big talk on diversity the other night with the last group, you know, more towards the end, but it's diversity is you, you know, your community of one with so many aspects. And to really revel in that, like, wow, I've got soul, I've got a higher self, I've got a spirit, I've got a body, I've got a mind, I've got a spirit mind. Holy shebangas. Yeah. I've got guests in my house. My guest house is full. I'm thriving. You know, maybe it's time, okay, we need to empty it out something. Just to start to see yourself differently and step out of the personality cliches and that which is not true, which you don't really know until you've stepped out of it. It's a bit of a catch in a way. It's not like you go, okay, this is untrue. I need to shed this. You actually don't know. Sometimes you never even know it. They just leave you. That's the beauty of this work. As I said earlier, we're not doing psychotherapy. We're not delving into why you are the way you are, your childhood. It's simply standing in what is, being with Source, yourself, all the aspects of yourself, while you function in a world that requires us to work and to relate to others and raise children and grow food or buy food. Like, is that not diversity, hey? Right there, each and every one of us
yeah.
Is diversity. And I was saying, good, we can give creator a break because creator is like, created bajillion kinds of insects and birds and trees and plants. And people look at that as diversity and like, okay, well, I think creators, yeah, you could take a break. We can revel in our own diversity and give life to all those aspects of yourself and celebrate them. You know that too in the Hopi prophecy. It says, you go into the river, just keep your head above the water and see there are others with you and celebrate. Even if there's a tiger or an ape, it's an incredible, incredible gift to be here. And the more we can appreciate it and acknowledge it, the richer life becomes. And again, it's not even about getting that better or happier. It's just fullness that comes of emptiness. So tell me something about yourself, whoever. And you don't even each need to speak, just see what's there. If anything, and if not, that's fine.
I'm doing a little bit of I think contemplating things that have happened to me where I wasn't open to celebrating and maybe panicked, and then I'm just doing some self-forgiveness. I think of just like being here right now with these new tools and this feeling happy for that and for forgiving myself for some things.
Good. Yeah. It said that you, he, she, they were forgiven. Even before this, you, he, she, they were forgiven. And forgiveness is like a blanket that each and every one of us was given. Christ said to the Lord, forgive them for they know not what they do. Mm-hmm. And so each one of us already has been forgiven. And that there, right there, is a beautiful piece to just say, all right, that's done. Now mm-hmm. Where do I go from here? Because a lot of times, like people with letting go, oh, I want to let go of this. It just goes on and on and on. And
put a cork in it.
Yeah. It's like that. It's just acknowledge it's done. It's like, okay, there's, mm-hmm. You can even say like, okay, if I was given 10 green credits of forgiveness, like, okay, well, there's one, mm-hmm. but actually there's no limit. But, just like cash it in. Like, oh, here you go. Here's one of my token forgiveness tokens. Thank you for that. Because there is actually no limit to them. And just be done. And then, okay, so now that's done. Where are you?
Adjusting my eyes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Where things look from here, and there's that wonder. One lens is wonder, and the other is fascination. Fascination means looking, learning, moving on. Got it. Move on. And there's no end to it. It's not like at the end of the day you go, all right, I'm done. it's a continuum. It is a continuum. And that can be a little overwhelming for people. Like, when does this stop? It doesn't. You just get better at it in a way. I know we said we're not trying to get better, but you get more, you know, more adjusted to it. It becomes normal. It's just normal, like breathing, like eating, going to the bathroom. It's just what we do. We have a thought, and the thought goes, and then another one comes, and sometimes we can sit in the stillness of no thoughts. You can even sit in our loneliness and our contemplation or whatever, and just, you know, check it out. Get to know it. Get to know it. Have a relationship. That's what all my relations means. It doesn't just mean the birds and the trees and the other people. It means everything. It means the people, places, and things that make up the entire world.
Right.
You know, a lot of, we don't put a lot of the same emphasis on the things because they're invisible for the most part, but the invisible is running the place. We only see 5% of the light waves. The other 95% we don't even perceive through our eyes. We perceive it in other ways. So that's a lot of what we're going to work, we are working towards here, is working with the invisible. You know, an artist is one who bridges the invisible with the visible. And it doesn't require paint or pencils or anything. You can do it that way. But it's about acknowledgement and recognition of those things. We're so focused on our own acknowledgement and being recognized, and like it's actually quite a lot more fun and less frustrating, I find. To
I appreciated the little jumping mouse giving away his eyes and then becoming an eagle. That was, like, to me, the invisible. Where it's like, have no idea, give away your eyes, and then become an eagle. That was a really awesome story.
Yeah, it is. It is such an awesome story. Mm-hmm. Now, you have to remember that Jumping Mouse had no idea what an eagle was. He wasn't reaching.
Oh, for the black spots.
Yeah, he just knows they're black spots and they can eat you.
They can eat you.
Yeah. You know, he doesn't have the grandiose idea that a lot of us tend to have about, oh, be the eagle, right?
Eagle,
he has
yeah.
no idea. No idea. And even when Frog calls up to him and says, and you have a new name, it is Eagle. He's just like, cool. You know? Okay, whatever.
Yeah,
it wasn't any reaching for in that story. Everything just happened.
No.
Exactly. By acknowledging everything that comes to you as it comes. Yeah, I mean, you could just go, that story covers, I think, every possible thing you can think of. It has a application. Yeah, it's got the most brilliant pieces. And written, you know, recently by a fellow, Hiroshomi Storm, also known as Chuck. And just so much wisdom there. Yeah, so all, and there's a video, I'm not sure if you already got it, but there's a really cool animated version in lessons coming up. It's, the sound isn't very good on it, but the visuals are very cool. You have to pay attention to all the little details. And that is the work, is the details, is like, oh, there's something popping in, some invisible creature, some invisible entity, you know, and depending on your work, I mean, in my line of work in shamanism, I've been slammed by them, but that's because we're targets and that's what we're meant to do. But they're always just looking for transformation. So, like, I had one come in recently in ceremony, just barreled into me, like just slammed into me, right? And so they're just clumsy. So sometimes when a what you might call a dark entity or a lost soul, because they're around too. There's all kinds of things around us. Again, this diversity. And there's none to be afraid of. It's simply getting to know them. And in the medicine wheel, we often, when you're walking the wheel and you come in front of a stone, we say to the stone, we might ask something of the stone. And there's no response. There's silence. It's just kind of dead air. You're like, hey, what's going on? So then we say to the stone or the spirit of the stone, what do you need from me to get your cooperation? And always there's an answer. Sometimes you have to ask a couple times. And then something just happens. It isn't necessarily an answer. Just all of a sudden there's life in the air. There's something occurring. There's a conversation of, you know, in the silence going on. So in the same way you can work with the entities, if something's really kind of bogging you down or you just don't seem to be getting anywhere with it, that's a very powerful thing to say. What do you need from me to get your cooperation?
Huh. Hmm. Yeah, that's very cool because I don't often think about it as being like a two-way thing, you know?
Aha, no, it very much is, yes.
Exactly, yeah, I see that very clearly.
Yes, yes, yes. And this is the what reciprocity means. It is a two-way street, but you also have no expectation. It's not like, I mean, to get their cooperation is just to get them to communicate with you, to be in relationship, to relate. But you have no, like when you set an intention at ceremony, you set an intention, but you have no way of knowing how that intention will be met.
Right.
You look nothing like what you thought. And that's, to me, those are the best ones. Like, whoa.
Yeah, I bet.
Didn't even think of that one.
So you have to figure out how it kind of relates. Is that it?
No, there's no figuring out. You mean, what do you mean? The entity, why it's there, or the thought form?
Yeah, the thought.
No, you don't figure anything out. You just ask the question.
Just allow it.
See where it goes. That's what I mean. There's no expectation.
Oh,
there's another. There's another word we use. It's expectancy. And that means you know something's going to happen, but you have no idea what.
Right.
Okay. And this is freedom that we're talking about. This is freedom. This is communication and relationship, having a relationship with all things, with all my relations. That is freedom. Pure and simple. You're always flowing. I mean, everything in life is moving. Everything is in motion, including the mind and the emotions. They're not meant to be in one place for very long. They get stagnant. They get bored. They get frustrated. Frustration can get really frustrated. Yeah, and then it just kind of starts to eat itself and it's just, ugh, you know? So that's the thing, you know, even I was just talking to somebody today about cancer, and cancer is the king of emotions, the disease. It's all about emotions that are trapped. So, you know, the more we can learn how to work with what comes to us, monitoring it and tracking it and relating with it, relating. And all those things have been forgiven too. Everything. This is nothing we don't even have to give forgiveness. It's a given. Forgiveness is a given. And, you know, it's good to think about it. And like I said, cash in your token once in a while just to make that acknowledgement that, okay, I'm I'm accessing some of that I've been given. But it's not something you need to conjure up, not some kind of magical potion. That's what a lot of people think, right? Stuff like forgiveness and letting go is like, they have no idea what it is. So how can you apply it? But it's already there. It's already there. It's just for you to let the good wind move things around while you mind your business. You know, just mind the business of being you, of being the pleasure of your own company. There's a little piece here from the Quran. It says, when you die, God will call upon you to account for all the permitted pleasures you did not enjoy while on earth. The Talmud offers a similar idea. A person will be called upon to account on Judgment Day for all the permitted pleasures he might have enjoyed but did not. So in our Western world, you know, they started talking too about like cultural differences and such. We have a very interesting relationship with ourselves where we strive for money and acknowledgement, and then we kind of lambaste ourselves for having it. So to, you know, reach for pleasure, well, how dare we? You know, we're so wealthy, we're so blessed, and yes, we are. But you know what? If we were more pleasant, pleasured, take the pleasure of our own company. If we, you know, take the pleasure of your own company, the world would change. It is changing. I mean, it is changing. That's the thing. Change is already happening. Change isn't something ahead of you. It is here and now. Eternity is change, and that will never change. You are eternity, and that will never change. But within eternity, things are continually in motion. So there we are now, or again, the circle in the circle. You are eternity, which is change, and that will never change. And that's the embrace, the safe embrace of it. We are fully embraced. We're fully held. Container within a container. Kaleidoscope watching a kaleidoscope. So just breathing that in, that consciousness. You know, we are also, humans are the most sophisticated, diverse form of consciousness. And that's it. It's not like, you know, okay, we are the ones we've been waiting for. It's not like any big reward. It's just the way it turned out. It's just what we are. We're not better than other forms of consciousness. We're just the most sophisticated and diverse. And there's a great pleasure in that. That's pleasure in itself, is acknowledging what you are. Wow. You know, I always figure if all the words have to go, I do hope wow can remain. It's probably the only word we really need.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And if you flip it upside down. It says mom.
Mom. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, I got a little squeak there from the little one too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Beautiful. Yeah. Okay. Well, we're coming towards end of our session, but in no hurry. And again, just want to open to if there's anything that would like to be inquired or experience laid on the altar of learning.
I just want to say thank you. Yeah, I'm really getting a lot out of this, even though it's just the first week. Even just with the readings, there's so much. I can't even put it into words yet. I don't even know what I'm trying to say. Just everything just makes sense to me. And it's as if I've read it before, just so familiar, but it's just bringing it to my awareness. I'm so thankful.
Beautiful. And that's what the eyes do with words. And remember that the words are the facade as well. So they're the topical salve, if you will. And just as you put on a topical salve on your skin, it's the medicinal plants and everything in it that then absorb into you. Yeah. So there's all the medicine behind the words and the songs, and the stories. The creation stories are just jam-packed with medicine. Like goes on and on and on and on. It's like just this endless, beyond as far as the eye can see and beyond, right? To infinity and beyond. And so all that is coming through your eyes. And that's why we also say that the words are reading you. So everything's coming into you. You know, just a little caution to there's that, oh yes, I know this. This is familiar to me. And it's like a firm affirmation of what you already know. And that's great. And go beyond that, beyond what you think you know and what does sound familiar, because it's the familiar is a great starting point, as is the comfortable. And then we go beyond that into the discomfort and into the unknown. The launch pad is exactly where you're at. And so it's about just letting it come through you. Again, we talk about where, you know, the teachings are being presented to you in order to bring the teachings forth in you. They will come for you and they will come through you in their own way. And just to allow that transition. And again, it's like the toroid sphere, right? Everything from the outside goes. Are you familiar with the toroid sphere? It's like an inner tube or a big donut, and everything on the outside gets channeled down into the middle and becomes the inside, and the inside then goes out and is
Oh, like the
continuing.
dolphin's bubbles. Yes.
Oh, I don't know about the dolphin's bubbles, yeah. But,
Oh, they can make that sphere with their bubbles. They can make the bubble that goes around the bubble that goes around the bubble.
oh no, this isn't a bubble in a bubble though. It's a donut, like a yeah, like a inner tube, right? A car tire inner tube. But it's continually
Right, and the
moving.
energy feeds it around and
Yeah,
around.
and it just goes out in like a sock. I like to think of it as turning a sock inside.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and again, now, okay, so if you take that visual of the inner tube, so the outer surface of the inner tube is moving towards the center, and it just keeps going around. And then think of yourselves again as that concentric circle inside a concentric circle. So that's happening to you. What's outside goes inside. What's inside comes outside. It's a continuum. You think you're a body with skin that, you know, if you perforate the skin, you bleed. Yeah, you do. But you're completely porous, like a sponge or a jellyfish. That's my favorite kind of analogy, is that we're like jellyfish in the stream. And a jellyfish in the stream doesn't even have to exert itself. All the nutrients just come through it just by being in the stream or in the river. So really feeling that, feeling how everything moves through you.
Clearing the memory banks.
Well, you just start having no time for that, really. It just
Exactly.
and of course they're all being, you know, Akasha is working on the memories, as does ayahuasca. We like to say ayahuasca calls your memories forth so that all may be deemed innocent. It's like she blesses every single one of those memories as being innocent. And then they also they become kind of viral to the other ones. So again, when that goes back in, and it's like it's an odd analogy, but it's almost like a good cancer. You know, it's something that procreates itself, cleansing our memory banks, cleansing our perception, cleansing who we think we are. And it just goes with the tide. Just goes out with the tide. Well, look, one day this is on the beach. We all live by the beach here, right? One day this is on the beach. Yeah, maybe it's there for a week, maybe longer, and then, oh, one day it's just gone. I mean, we're talking like massive logs sometimes. Just gone.
Rotting herring roe. I looked up online when the high tides are coming because I stepped in it in my shoe. I don't. The stinkiest shoe I've ever had.
You stepped in
Wow.
herring roe in the beach. Okay.
Yeah.
Now just
Like
be
a
with that.
sinkhole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just be with that. Now what you're saying in satsang isn't just parlaying what happened to you today. Okay? So again, we're not necessarily doing psychotherapy, but there's a piece there. You know, and just be with it. Ask it, what do you need from me to get your cooperation? What did you come to tell me? That's basically what we're asking. What did you come to tell me? When we step into the medicine wheel, we say to this, we step into the medicine wheel. Yes, we're the ones who showed up, got ourselves to the medicine wheel. And then we say, you know, what is it you came here to show me? The stone people, what did they come
Hey.
here for? To tell us. So the herring roe, what did you come here for to tell me? Yeah, so everything comes to you. Everything comes to you. And just in closing too about the seriousness, my friend Maria said once in ceremony, I love this, that the medicine people don't take themselves seriously. They take the medicine seriously. And I like to even say it like they take the medicine seriously. Like, seriously, they do. Really, they do take the medicine. So we are well fed every moment of the day, everybody. You know, in the story of First Mother and First Father, when the children were perishing from not having enough food to eat. That's not the
Oh, I love that story, yeah.
That's not the only way to perish, you know.
Right.
It's the medicine and just participating in life. Okay. So I think we're just gonna wrap it up. We've covered some good ground today, and you're moving right along, and we're now coming through Act One into Act Two. Don't be surprised if something kind of what we call the inciting incident shows up, a challenge, a test. They do all the time, but you will probably notice it this time more, like that this is what it is, you know, the
Okay.
initiation. Initiation. And again, when you acknowledge it as an initiation, you are initiated. I mean, how many challenges and inciting incidents have you had in your life and just tried to fight them off?
Right.
No, this time you take it on in, not on, you know, taking it on sounds like fighting too, but you know, relate to it. Relate to it. And again, what have you come here to show me, to tell me? And it may say, I don't know. I thought you called. What did you come here to show me? Again, we just never know how it's gonna go. We never know, but we start the conversation. We start the relationship going, get it going. Say, okay, yeah, I get it now. Well, let's play. Okay, aho.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.